I'll take this time to put emphasis on what we're doing. We call it, according to the Bible, the right hand of fellowship. You know, it's just, if you talk, you say, hey, I'm going to give you the right hand of fellowship. That's the right wording in according to Galatians chapter 2. When you welcome someone in your fellowship. The right handing of fellowship is something we do here at Restoration. I believe that. I believe in membership. And nowadays, many people view church as an unnecessary. But at the end of the day, church is very necessary. Whether they get it or not. And I pray all of us here. People, those of you watching online, your relationship with Jesus is necessary. Because there is nothing else in this world that brings peace. There is nothing you can drink, you can take, that can take away the pain. Or nothing else bring more purpose than having this intimate relationship with the Lord. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Moses. It says, Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy in fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses made a choice. Man, how many of us would make this choice? God, give us grace if we ever find ourselves in such a situation. He considered to suffer for Christ than to enjoy the world's pleasure. See, as our generation despising membership being a member of the church, everybody wants to be a member of everywhere else, right? I talk about this here. You know, I'm a member of Sims Club. I'm a member at 7-Eleven because I get the first 7 time I fill up, they give me 11 cents off. So they advertise, if you will become a member, there's advantage, right? So there are advantages to become a member. You're a member of Prime. You're a member of Costco's. Walmart, they're promoting membership now. Why? Because there are privileges. It's the same thing. There's a lot benefit to become a member of the church. A lot of people think, they have a mindset that joining a church as a member is what they call it's against culture. Because people don't want to engage. People don't want to commit to anything. In reality, when you understand covenant, because I'm in covenant with Jesus, and you are in covenant with Jesus, it brings us in covenant. And that's what some churches lost. We're families. I'm your family. I mean, Jesus said it. There's a story in the Bible. It says Jesus' mother came to seek for him. And they say, hey, Jesus, your mom's asking for you. Your mom and your brother's asking for you. And he looked around his disciples. He's like, who is my brother? Who is my sister? And he says, anyone who does the will of my father is my brother, is my sister, and is my mother. So in God's family, we find a community, common unity. We find a group where we can be in covenant with each other. You don't have to do life by yourself. I mean, how amazing it is. When I have a headache, it's your headache as well. Oh, I'm serious. My headache is my pain is your pain. So the more the happier I am, the happier you are, right? It's just like a healthy family, right? When your kids, when your cousins are doing good, how do you feel? You feel good, right? But when your kid or you have a family member who is a loser, man, you feel bad for them. You want everybody in your family to be a winner, right? It's the same thing for God's family. Your problem is becoming my problem. When you're not well spiritually, I feel it. When you're not well emotionally, I care. And it's the same thing. It's not just here in at Restoration Church. It's the same thing for the church down the road. You see, the First Baptist Church down the road, when they're struggling, we should be in pain because we are part of God's kingdom. You know? And so that in itself is, I tell you, is a great reason to be member of a church. Becoming a church member or being in covenant with a local body means leaving behind your comfort, what they call individualism mindset. The one man, I want to be by myself. When the enemy wants to kill you, the first thing he wants you to do is isolate yourself. Amen. Can I have a witness? Yeah. Can I have a better witness? Amen. Yeah. In this church, we say amen. That means yes, Pastor. Come on. Keep saying that. Yeah, that's right. You know, we don't live like that. I go after you. You go after me. We go after each other. We fight for relationship. The Bible contains a lot of verses that talks about the body of Christ. You know, it talks about the body of Christ is like our body. Our body functions as one. My hands cannot tell my feet they don't need each other. There's never like a conflict between in my body, right? In your body. I don't know. I think it's the same thing for all of us. You know, when you get a splinter in your little finger right here, you feel it where? In a little toe right there. You know? You have, you're hungry, right? You need to eat, and then you have a headache. Right? Right. That's the way the body works. So that's why we promote covenant in this church. Shepherding, that's another thing. Church membership is amplified in the way the New Testament requires elders like me. I'm your pastor. I've got a group of leadership here to take care or to be in charge of God's people. A lot of people don't like the idea of becoming a member of the church because church leaders abused. You see, a good leader lead like Jesus did. You lead like a servant leader. I'm not here for you to serve me. I'm here to serve you. You know, the chief here is Jesus. Nobody bow before me. Now, I understand there's respect. I'm your authority. I'm your pastor. I'm your friend. I'm your spiritual father. Yeah, you respect me. But Jesus, man, we bow before King Jesus. And not me. We bow before Jesus. We honor King Jesus. So because in the past, other people have abused their leadership authority in church, people despise membership. They said, well, we don't want to be a member. We don't want to be part of this. But thank God, there is a remnant that's doing it right, and we are. We're part of it. Okay? We're not saying this to boast. No, there's no boast. We boast in the Lord. But we are part of the remnant. We are part of this group of people who wants the real gospel. I want the real church. When Jesus comes, guys, I want to make sure all of you are ready. We're not here to play religion. You know, anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. That's what it says here. Being part of a church, it promotes shepherding. So now I know who's part of my church. Like I can't be the pastor for everybody out there. Let's say you visit every other month and you never come in. That doesn't commit me to you. Right? That's the reality. So if you're not committed to this local body, yeah, we could talk, we could be friends, but until you commit, for me, I have nothing. You could see me as your pastor, but yeah, if you call me, I'll be there. But in reality, are you committed to the body? Are you committed to one of the phrases I use in my class? What was this president? The president that says, "Do not ask the country." JFK. Do not ask the country what the country can do for you. But you ask yourself, what am I going to do to make this country? I love this. And that's how we should live in America. And I think that's the same thing for a church. Don't ask what the church can offer. But you ask yourself, how can I serve this body? That's how a healthy family can work. In my house, all my children, they have chores. Ryan, he's a grown-up man, he's an adult, but he lives in the home. He still has chores. Because whether he leaves my house, he'll always have chores. So why should he have no chores when he still lives in my home? That's promote, it helps him understand I'm part of this home. So I contribute to make this home what it is. Amen? Amen? You know, and for you, as a member of Restoration Church, you live a holy life. You live a life in the light. You live a life where we love each other. You live a life where we accept each other where we at. We live a life where we accept people when they come as they are. That's the gospel. Another thing is discipline. You know, church membership is implied by the way the church is supported, is supposed to discipline its members. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians, it talks about do not judge the world. And many times we talk about that also in our class. We say, well, some people say, well, you can't judge me. You've heard that, right? You can't judge me. Yeah. We have no business judging the world. But if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, and this is our standard, the Word of God, we need to judge each other. Meaning, we need to keep each other accountable. Because God's not judging anyone right now. God is not judging anybody right now. See, what's happening right now, God's giving everybody grace. And it's the grace of God that will lead people to repentance. It's the love of God that will lead people's heart back to Him. Judgment is coming. And it says, man, who will be able to stand to God? Blessed are those who choose to believe Him now. If you're here and your walk, you don't know Jesus. If you're watching online and you don't know Him, come to Him. Open your heart. Receive Him. If you've been coming here and you just like, you don't want to commit, you know, it's like, I tell you, pray about it, but get plugged in. Don't do life by yourself. See how you can serve. See how you can be involved. Okay? So, I say all this to say, today, last week I talked about what does it mean to be in fellowship with Jesus? What does it mean to be in covenant with Jesus? Because a lot of times people think, you know, they think serving Jesus is, you know, church. You go to church, you know, you do your dues, like you do service, and then they go out there and they live their life. No. You know, Jesus, if for you to serve Jesus, it means for you to be in fellowship with Jesus, it means He's got to be driving. The simplest way to put it, to be in fellowship with Jesus means you sit on the driver's side, on the passenger side, and let Jesus drive. I don't know if you guys ever experienced this. When you're driving around with someone that's always telling you, turn here, turn there. Turn here, turn there. Hey, turn here, turn there. Well, you're not in the driver's seat. So you should let the person who is in the driver's seat drive. You see, to be a follower of Christ, to be in fellowship with Jesus, it means let Jesus drive. But sometimes me and you and I, we think, man, I just don't like the direction Jesus is taking me. But what we fail to remember is He knows best. He never takes us to the wrong place. Maybe the route. And He never tells us the route. He knows best. Even in your situation, He knows best. So the book of 1 John, I believe it's a book for us as we're beginning a new year to be in it. It was written by the Apostle John. The date recorded for the book was year 85 to 90. The form of the book is a letter. The major theme of the book we find preserving truth. It talks about false teaching. It talks about God's character, Christ's centrality, and Christian discipline. All these we'll be talking about in details. And that's where I stopped last week, where I sensed the Lord was telling us, as we enter this new year, this is a season for us to go deeper in light. Go deeper in light. There is no darkness in Jesus. Okay? If you say you're a follower of Christ, you're living in darkness, guess what? You're fooling yourself. There is no lie in Jesus. There is no darkness. That's why it's so easy to make the difference between a true follower of Christ and someone who's just religious. A true follower of Christ is someone who's living in the light. They keep their word. Their yes is yes. Their no is no. They're men of ethic, women of integrity. They know how to love people. And we talk about that Greek word, koinonia, remember? It says, we find the word koinonia in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 47, where it says, the disciples, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostle. Make church, make your life with Jesus a priority. You see, whatever is a priority for you, you'll find time to do it. Fellowship, make it a priority. Make being involved in a community a priority. Somebody says, well, I don't have time for that. Guess what? You don't have time because it's not a priority. You know, your good friend, the person you call your friend, if they never spend time with you or you're always chasing after them, you're not a priority. Get over it. Because the moment you are a priority, guess what? If you get a text, you get, you know, you find time. Whatever is a priority to you, you will find time for it. Being in fellowship with God also means God, you are in agreement with God. You obey, you agree to obey all things, in all things. That's what fellowship, being in fellowship with God means, being in covenant with God. It means not my will, but your will, not my way, but your way. I tell you, one of the offensive verses in the Bible, as a matter of fact, Jesus was talking to a group of people. He said, he multiplied a bunch of bread, fed 4,000 once, and then fed 5,000 once. And then later on, Jesus is getting a little deeper. You know, the more you let Jesus in, Jesus will start fixing things around. There are people, they just want to keep Jesus Sunday morning with the service. They don't want to take Jesus outside with them. We don't do that. To be in fellowship with Jesus, it means you take Jesus everywhere. I wrote it down. It says, you receive him for who he is. I talk about that over Christmas Eve service. If Jesus comes to you as a savior, you receive his salvation. If he comes to you as a leader, you receive his leadership. See, Jesus is not like our fathers. Some of us have bad fathers, earthly fathers. We have bad parents. Some of them abandoned us. See, God's not like that. He won't, we sing that. He will never leave us. If he comes to you as a provider, you receive his provision. If he comes to you as a counselor, man, I tell you, you read the Bible, you become a wise person. God bless the counselors. They're doing amazing. But I tell you, man, if you want the best counseling session, read Proverbs and obey it. You'll be surprised. There's everything in this Bible we need. Everything we need. Read it. This is not just a religious book. This is the Constitution. We're part of the kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And God give us His Constitution. I said that all the time in my classes. I said, if I would be the devil, and that's what he does. But I understand. I said, if I would be him, that's probably what I'd do. I'd get the church to never read the Bible and misunderstanding the Holy Spirit. So you have a dry church, and then you have a church who are clueless about what God says. See, First John talks about the Antichrist. You see, yes, there's going to be an Antichrist coming. When the church raptus happened, when the rapture happened, there's going to be a rapture. The trumpet's going to sound, whatever sound it's going to be. It says the dead in Christ, everyone who died in Christ will raise up again. Boom! And then for those of us who still remain, we're in a trickle of an eye. Just like that, blip, everybody will disappear. And we'll be caught up in the air. What a hope. It says everyone with this hope will purify themselves. So because you and I have this hope, we live a holy life. We live like today, our backpack, our suitcase is packed and ready to go. Because we do not know the time, nor the hour the Lord will come. To be in fellowship with the Lord means to receive Him like as He comes to you. Comes as a ruler, let him rule. Comes as a father, let him love you. To be in fellowship with Jesus does not mean you let him in, you let Jesus in your heart, and you're trying to do your best so Jesus can have peace with your mess. Okay, let me tell you again. Because sometimes that's what people try to do. You know, I love Jesus. I want him, you know. Yeah, I believe there is a God. But you know what? Jesus is not going to mess with my mess. I tell you, first thing he does when he comes, he mess with your mess. If you were bitter, he tells you got to forgive. You know, I was telling you, he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000. Everybody loved him. Everybody said, man, we finally find the leader we've been looking for. He fed them. He healed them. He raised the dead. I mean, everybody was just like, man, the Messiah is among us. And then Jesus said, if any of you really wants to be my follower, you must deny yourself. So therefore, when someone hurts you, he says, if someone wants to get your coat, don't fight with it. Give them their coat. Give it to them. If someone slap you, fight you, slap you in the face, that was a figure subject when he says, give them the other side. It doesn't mean say, give them literally the other side. It says, you know what? Just go away. Don't fight. If someone hurt you, you forgive them. And then the disciples, they went on and think about what he said. Probably Peter. Actually, yeah, it was Peter. Peter went to Jesus. He's like, okay, so Lord, you were talking about forgiveness, you know. How many times do you think I should forgive? About 7 times like that. 7 times, because you think during the day, 24 hours, someone hurt you, you know, backstabbed, say bad things about you, mistreated you, anything else. You fill out the blank. About 7 times, Jesus said, no, you forgive them 7 times, 70 times. 70. You forgive them 490 times a day. It says, this tells us there is enough forgiveness to forgive others their trespasses. I don't know, 24 hours, how many seconds is that? And there's nobody during 24 hours that would offend you every minute of the day. Doesn't happen. So Jesus made it possible so you and I, we can have enough forgiveness for others. See, bitterness eats us. To be in fellowship with God, it means to live a life full of forgiveness. John chapter 12, I don't think I give you that one, but you guys can turn into it. John chapter 12, verse 20. It says some Greeks had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration, and they paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Verse 20 to 21. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted into the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their lives in this world will lose it." There are some people, they can't have fellowship with the Lord because they think Jesus is going to enslave them. Let me tell you this. True freedom is knowing Jesus. Because when you come to Jesus, he sets you free from the spirit of addiction. I tell you, a powerless person, a powerless mind is someone who thinks they always have to smoke to feel better. Anything that controls you. Now, I'm not minimize the effect of addiction. Addiction actually comes with a spirit that keeps people bound in chain. But Jesus came to break the chains. The only thing we got to do is submit to his lordship. But when you submit to his lordship, he breaks that chain and then you're free. Listen, you are free to, you're free to eat a burger, and you're free not to eat a burger. You're free to have a glass of wine, but you're also free. You don't want to, you're free to not drink a glass of wine. It's not religion. You know, sometimes we want to be so religious. You think, well, if I do this, if I don't do that, if I do this, 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 God will be pleased with me. That would defeat the purpose of Jesus' coming and dying on the cross. Jesus paid the price on the cross so you and I, we could experience freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So it says, but don't use that freedom as a license to indulge your flesh. Don't use God's freedom to live as you please. You say, well, you know what? I'm free now. I'm going to have a 12-pack. You might. You can. Go for it. I'm so free right now, I'm going to be drunk every week. I'm so free right now, I got to do, man, what a freedom. I get to do whatever I please. You don't get it. Then it goes on, it says, I just read it. What it says in John, it says, those who love their lives in the world will lose it. But those who care nothing for their lives in this world will keep it for eternity. Now, there's a window I want to open here. I have seen young people, adult, older person, they use this verse to have no life, no purpose. They float around. They can't keep a job. See, one of the things when you're in fellowship with Jesus, he comes in, he brings discipline. See, if you're following Jesus, you work, you must have a job. You must work. As a matter of fact, if you're not working, you shouldn't eat. And if you come to me, I might help you, but I'm going to help you find a job. Because keep giving you this and that, it's just enable you to remain poor. When Jesus comes, he brings discipline. And when Jesus comes, the person where you're working, the first thing he's going to tell you, you must be faithful at your job. You must respect your boss. You must respect, if you're in school, you must respect your teacher. You must respect your parents. Everybody else disrespecting their teacher. But you're like, man, that's why I said, it's so easy to make the difference between the sons and daughters of the light and sons and daughters of the darkness. Children of God lives in the light. If you love your life more than Christ, you can't be in fellowship with him. Because those who care for nothing for their lives, those who care nothing for their lives in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me. Father, be the Lord's shadow. You follow him. You follow him. You walk after him. See, the problem sometimes when we follow Jesus. So if you're following Jesus and you see Jesus going here, in your mind you think, wow, those are obstacles. All right? You're behind Jesus. This is Jesus. And he's taking you here. Somehow, maybe he's got ways to get you to go through here. But in your mind you see obstacles. That's why it is completely impossible to please him without faith. As you follow him, you have to completely, totally believe in him. You have to completely trust him. I tell you, 5 years ago, if someone would tell me this is what I'm doing, this is where I'm at, I'll tell you out of your mind. 5 years ago, I had a perfect plan. But it wasn't the perfect plan because I am in the perfect land of God. I am. I find myself in the perfect plan of God. See, when you're following Jesus, you have to be flexible, I tell you, because he'll never give you the big picture. You will never know the big picture. So for you to follow him, to be in fellowship with him, in covenant with him, you have to live a life in total surrender. And trust him because he's a good father. God will never abuse you. He knows best. He says, for I know the plan I have for you is a plan for you to prosper. And I'm going to finish with this, the book of 1 John. When we read the book of John, it explained that Jesus came to offer eternal life. We have eternal life. In the first book of John, like we're reading now, we're going to see a lot of God's character. You know, I was talking to you about the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come after the rapture. And the Antichrist will come and bring peace. He will speak peace because people are going to be in chaos. They're going to be looking for peace. But do you know right now, anything that's taking Christ out of you is Antichrist? Now remember this, because we're going to talk more about that as we read the book of 1 John. Anything that's taking you away from Christ is Antichrist. We're not talking about the Antichrist, but we're talking about maybe certain things in your life that are anti-Jesus. Anti-Jesus. Oh, I pray right now that the Lord would open your heart, open your eyes, so you could see the things that are antichrist in your life. Write that down. What are some antichrists in my life? Antichrist. Some things that are just out there to take you out of Christ. And the first thing the enemy does is taking you out of fellowship. Antichrist. There's going to be a lot more. I believe the first book of John, the book of 1 John, is good for us as a church for this season. Because John presented God to us as light, and we need more light in our lives. I need more light. Oh, we need more love. I need more love. And we need life. I need more life. I mean, there's nothing like going to work. I tell you, your job is a mission field. Oh, I bless you when you go to work. I bless you with strength when you go to work. I bless you with the ability of the Holy Spirit when you go to work. Because people are so miserable out there, and they come to work, they come with this attitude, dog eat dog. But then you're not part of their dog eat dog movement. So you need a very strong outpouring of the Holy Spirit so you can withstand the things that's out there. People are rude. You know, if you are in customer service, sometimes they walk in here, they walk in customer service, they walk in your store, or they call you, and it's like, man, you own them anything. Or they come with this problem, you gotta solve it. It's terrible. It's the heart of man. But what do? You need the grace of God to go through the day, huh? Well, you do need the grace of God. We need more life, we need more light, and we need more love. Because the more we allow God's love to abound in you, in us, to overflow in us, then we'll be able to give. Can't give what you don't have. That's why I need more life. 2024, I need more life. More I have, I'll give you more life. I need more love. The more love I have, guess what? I'm going to love you to death. The more light I have, guess what? Man, you guys are going to be part of the light. So John's letter is a model for us at Restoration Church to follow as we combat modern heresies. You know, the fight that's against the sound doctrine. I believe the book of 1 John is a good model for us. In your own time, read it. You know, if you started already, keep reading it. Take notes. Allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. If you don't have time to read it, find time. Make time. Listen to the book of 1 John. And I want to finish with this, the summary. What I believe the call for 2024 is. Number one, if you go to the screen there, it says maintain loyalty and fellowship towards one another and towards God. So as we enter 2024, let's maintain fellowship. To be in fellowship with God, it means to be part of a family. Everybody's looking for a good family. Number two, confess your sin. If you have sin in your life, find someone you can trust. Come to me. Go to our leadership. Go to your cell leaders. Come talk to us. Clean house. If you're living in darkness, come to Jesus. Come to the light. Confess your sin. Make you, you know, find peace within. You know, I know sometimes people, they go to yoga and they're trying to, let's find peace. Let me tell you, it's good to meditate. It's good to try to relax and stretch. It's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't find peace in nowhere else but Jesus. Yoga, that won't do it. It's good to stretch. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Allow him in. Allow him in. Allow him in. Confess your sin to God and to one another. Find someone you can trust. If you have something that's troubling you, talk to somebody. If you have marital problem, talk to somebody. That's why I'm here. That's why Kendra is here. That's why we have leaders in our midst. We have cell leaders. Talk to somebody. Don't. The enemy wants you to be alone. Don't be alone. Go to a home group. Get involved. Number three, esteem Jesus as the Word of God, of life, the Son of God. You see, once again, you see that? Jesus is central. The Word. It's good to have your phone. It's good to have your iPad. Many, multiple, different version of the Bible. But have a physical Bible. Take notes in it. If your Bible is brain speaking new, that's bad. Your Bible shouldn't be brain speaking new. Look this beautiful Bible I have. No, it shouldn't be beautiful because you use it every day. You take notes. You got fingerprints. You know it. You got stuff written all over it. You know, you got sticky notes. It's like you and your mind and the Word of God have this relationship. Sometimes you don't know exactly where the verse is, but you know where the page is. You esteem Jesus Christ as the Word of God. And He is the Word of God. Number four. Love God, who is love, and love other Christians. remain in Christ, become like Christ. I want to be like Christ. Anybody else? I have one desire, is to be like Jesus. And then I read the Bible, I see how Jesus. Sometimes, man, I just want to kill somebody. But when I look at Jesus, it's like, cool, man. Cool off, dude. Cool off. Cool, cool, cool. Jesus is like, cool. Sometimes I just want to give it to them. No, Jesus is like, cool, man. Relax. Judgment is coming. I want to be like him. You love people. You love God. Remain in Christ. Become like Christ. Purify, it says, and purify yourself of worldly lust. You know, we do have young men, young women in our midst, and it doesn't stop there. If you're in pornography, if you, whatever sin that's in your life, fornication, you know, you're lusting after other people's stuff. I always say it, man. I grew up in Haiti, and people don't have the opportunity. But thank God, I did it pretty good. Jesus helped me, and I worked hard. Some of the young men in Haiti, they thought the sun was too hot, but me, I didn't care. I'm like, man, I need money. I sold things. I walk around. I wasn't trying to be pretty. I was trying to make money. And I did. I did it there. But you see, here in America, I think anybody can do it if they're willing to work hard. Because there's so many opportunities. Any young person, you know, as long as you're physically able, you should be able to make it. You work hard. You discipline yourself. You work a couple jobs. You sleep less. Because that sleep less will only last a short season. You work. You save. Stay out of debt. And the last one, discern false teaching by the help of the Holy Spirit. And recognize the spirit of false prophets and the Antichrist. And then it says you will enjoy eternal life. Notice, I say enjoy eternal life because we're not going to die to go in eternal life. You already have eternal life. I have eternal life. You're living in eternity. You can take a picture of this. And those things, we'll be talking a lot more about it. And then next time, next week, come back for more. We're going to read chapter 1, verse by verse. And we're going to talk about it. Amen? That's good. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for teaching us, Father. And we accept your word is the truth. It's the foundation for our lives, Father. Lord, we thank you for everything that was done here today. We bless you. We honor you. And as these your sons and your daughters, they go out in this world. I pray that your presence would go before them. May they be known as sons, daughters of the light, people who knows how to love. Father, I pray that you'd keep us. Keep us, guide us every step we make. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Make it a great day and a great week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.